Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. It's championship weekend. Hans, you're down in Las Vegas. Utah set to take on Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. I'm here in Los Angeles. We'll have the call of tomorrow's game with Utah State taking on San Diego State. And joining us now, Brian Fisher from Athlon, as well as joining us weekly throughout the season, one of the best college football writers out there. Brian, how you doing?
Hey, Brian.
Good to be on with you guys. I'm excited. It's championship weekend, like you said.
I hear you're stuck in the Salt Lake Airport right now. Is that right?
Yeah, isn't that ironic? You know, you guys are in LA and Vegas, and here I am in Salt Lake, right? Isn't that great?
Yeah.
There's nothing happening there. Get out of there, man. That's all dried up. Everybody's out doing big things.
I'm trying. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, you know, they just rebuilt that thing. They got the new Delta Lounge there. It's pretty nice. The Sky Lounge is it's solid. All right.
I am not complaining.
Yeah. We got a lot to get to here. Let's start with the game tonight. Well, first off, before we get to Utah and Oregon, are you it seems like there's a lot of that Miami's a bit of a mess right now. Are you buying the rumors that that there might be a change there and they may go all in on Mario Cristobal?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been the scuttlebutt for now for a couple weeks. You know, honestly, as soon as they made that change with Blake James at athletic director, that was kind of the talk, that this was essentially a move to go get Mario Cristobal. And obviously there's, you know, still discussion in terms of what the university wants to do in terms of hiring the athletic director. I know Mario's old teammates, you know, like Gino Toretta is one of the leading candidates to take that AD job. And a lot of that with a lot of Hurricanes alums has been saying, let's rebuild this program. Let's get some guys that know the area, that know this program too well. And, you know, frankly, there's going to be a lot of appeal for Mario to come home. I think that's the one job. Throw out the facilities questions, throw out the money questions. You know, that's something that tugs at his heart. And so I think that's going to be a interesting thing because, you know, let's face it, Oregon's going to do everything they can to keep him. And if Miami ultimately ends up making a move, I think that's there's only one guy out there that they're going to go get.
How crazy are contracts going to get? You know, we saw the Tucker contract rumors start to spread 10 years, $95 million. We've seen some others that are right up there alongside of that. Are we just going to be looking at the top 20, top 30 coaches in NCAA football over $10 million here in a year or two?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's basically the going rate now, especially for those kind of blue blood programs. And, you know, the thing is that the field is tilted so much in favor of the agents and the coaches themselves. I mean, you look at even those buyout amounts. I mean, even at $95 million, if Mel Tucker wanted to go to the NFL in a couple of years, there's basically nothing stopping him. And, you know, I think that's the one thing you talk with folks around the industry is just how one-sided these things are. And a lot of it, you know, kind of comes down to the pressure that a lot of these ADs face in terms of landing that guy, landing that big fish. And it's a lot of money to do that for a lot of these blue blood gigs. But I think it is here to stay. I mean, you even look at Virginia Tech, you know, look at that job. You know, that's a $5 million a year job, basically, when you average out Brent Pry's contract. So the entire industry has certainly been elevated. And, you know, you can look at the amount of money just coming into the system. This is only going to continue. There's no way you can put that money towards paying the players at this point if you're the school. So it's going towards coaching staffs and it's going towards facilities. And ultimately, that's right now, as everybody's kind of built out in terms of the facilities question, a lot more is being invested in terms of that coaching network.
When you look at this game tonight between Utah and Oregon, Utah blew out Oregon a couple of weeks ago. They're up 28-0 at halftime and just kind of cruised to the victory. Do you? We've talked to a lot of Utah fans today, and they're a little bit more wary. They think that the repeat of that performance is unlikely. But regardless of what the score, do you feel confident Utah comes out with a win tonight?
I don't know. You know, I think you can think back to 2019. Certainly, I think that's probably going to be on the minds of a lot of Utes fans in terms of just the energy and the attitude kind of coming into that game and how it was kind of all on the plate. And it just didn't end up happening against Justin Herbert and the Ducks. And I think that's probably in the back of a lot of people's minds. I think the one thing that you can keep in mind was Utah was just so physically dominant in that first meeting. And that's something that you can't really change from in a 2-week period. And I think that's the one thing that I would keep in mind, certainly, is just how physical Utah was in the trenches, how they really controlled the game with their run game and defense. I mean, that was how they've got to this point, and I think that's obviously going to be able to carry them all the way through to potentially the Rose Bowl. So, at the line of scrimmage is really where this game is going to be won or lost again, and I think Oregon will be more prepared this time around and certainly have a few wrinkles up their sleeves compared to that first time around, but I do think this is Utah's game to lose.
Let's say they do get the win and they go to the Rose Bowl. What is their likely prize? What is that game going to look like? The highest potential for an opponent?
Well, I think it's basically locked in. Unless Michigan were to lose the Big Ten title game, that's going to be Ohio State. And I think for Utah, I mean, what a tremendous opportunity, right, to play in the Rose Bowl, to play a historic power like Ohio State in Pasadena. It doesn't get much better than that. And I think that this is a big reason why they made the move to the Pac-12 was to play into games like that. I think it would be certainly a crowning achievement, for somebody like Kyle Whittingham. And, truthfully, I mean, I asked around with TCU over the years and just how much that one Rose Bowl trip did for that program and did for Gary Patterson, and they still talk about it. And I think you could have something similar play out for Utah, win or lose, if they make it to Pasadena. And just having the conference title, I think that is huge just in terms of the program's reputation and really how far they've come these last couple of years. I mean, you just kind of saw the steady progress towards this point. Had they taken advantage this year of maybe it being in a down Pac-12? Sure, but at the end of the day, they built this thing the right way, and this is a lot of work has gone into this weekend, and it's all there for the taking for the Utes.
Brian Fisher joining us on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. You can follow him on Twitter, at Brian D. Fisher. As so many great games this weekend coming up. Does your impression of Alabama change at all after that? The fact they did come from behind, they did win that game against Auburn, but needed a 97-yard drive and a couple fourth-down conversions to do it, and triple overtime. Do you still believe that Alabama is one of the four best teams in the country?
It's tough because I think we're kind of splitting hairs here. I think this is not the Alabama teams that we're kind of used to seeing. I think, Nick Saban, I mean, he's basically admitted it as much that this was supposed to be a rebuilding year, and that's just what it was. I think we just have such a high standard for the Crimson Tide over these last couple of years. I mean, the success speaks for itself, right? And I think that's been apparent in terms of how we're viewing this current team. I mean, they do have some terrific players, some Heisman contenders like Bryce Young and Will Anderson there. And I think at the end of the day, as good as those players are, this is still a team that is looking for some additional depth, still having some issues up front along the trenches that, they're truthfully, rotating some new guys in there. And I think that's played a factor. This is not a fit product for Nick Saban and truthfully a team that's, probably building for 2022 and beyond. And you add into that the fact that the SEC is pretty tough this year, and I think it's the end result is maybe this is still one of the four best teams, but we'll end up seeing.
So when we see Cincinnati take on Georgia in the first round of the college football playoffs, will we ever see another group of five team put into that college football playoffs, or do you think Cincinnati could represent?
I think Cincinnati is in with a win. I think just given everything else that's been happening elsewhere, that is a big factor in terms of, the committee really doesn't have that many opportunities. And I think it's a bit of a glass ceiling being broken. I mean, I think, truthfully, I think other teams out there, that can have these type of seasons that, can have not only marquee wins like the Bearcats did against Notre Dame, but, kind of put together this multi-year run, more than anything. I think that's a big help. And, hopefully we don't have to be debating this topic a whole lot longer. We'll see about college football playoff expansion in terms of the win, but I think everybody understands that it is coming down the road, and that's going to be a boon for not just teams like Cincinnati, but anybody, kind of looking to crash the party. The days of the BCS Buster and these type of Cincinnati teams, you go back a couple of years, even seeing that Houston squad trying to crack the playoff. I think the talk will move necessarily from being one of those premier programs and one of those top four teams to really which one is the best. And I think that's a good debate to have. Not debating Cincinnati versus Michigan, but debating who else can join the Bearcats in this run. And I think that is a good change for college football. And we'll see, because I think this is going to be a banner weekend, I think, for Cincinnati if they end up getting the job done on Saturday.
Uh, I'm going to be on the call for Utah State, San Diego State. Can the Aggies hang in there with the Aztecs tomorrow?
No, we'll see. I mean, this is an offense that, you got Logan Bonner out there. I mean, if he can throw it around the yard and make some big plays, I think certainly they'll have a chance to be right there at the end. I mean, this is kind of their MO, right? You know, that they have those second halves where they just put it all together and they make a fun game of it. And that to me is going to be the interesting thing to me, whether they can just keep it close. You know, I think if you can keep it close for three quarters, really apply the pressure back on San Diego State. We know this is not a program necessarily or a team necessarily that likes playing, with big leads or anything like that. So I think at the end of the day, they've got enough that they're going to have to get some turnovers and get some stops. But this could be one of the more fun title games out there. I think just the way these two teams match up in terms of strength versus weakness and vice versa, I think it could be a fun one down there in Carson.
So I'm interested in who you believe has won the coaching hire lottery. Who has had the best hire of all the different movements that we've seen in college football?
I think it's USC. I think there's little doubt in my mind. It's USC. I mean, to hire somebody from Oklahoma, you know, just in general, to hire somebody from a fellow kind of blue blood that has had terrific success, who has been in the college football playoff like Lincoln Riley has, I think that's just a huge coup. And frankly, it just is a huge jolt to that program in general in terms of bringing in a younger guy, obviously offensive-minded, to just breathe some life into really the kind of sleeping giant on the West. I think it's huge for USC and huge for the Pac-12. And, I think that's the unquestioned winner is USC of this coaching side. We'll see about Brian Kelly. I think it's definitely an interesting culture fit. I think he'll do well there in terms of winning games. In terms of can he get over the hump and win the national title, we'll see. It's been more difficult than ever out of the SEC West, given how Texas A&M has come along. You got to understand that Georgia is obviously going to be there on a continual basis. You have Alabama, of course, with Nick Saban there. It's just a different era for LSU in terms of winning national titles, which is basically their standard. And so it's going to be a high bar for Brian Kelly to clear. But, it's not often you get to talk about two blue bloods coaching other blue bloods in this coaching cycle. But that's where we're at this point in time.
I mean, I get it. Coaches can leave and they can do it, but doesn't a lot of this just feel dirty? And I guess it's felt dirty for years. I mean, it's nothing new, but I mean, sometimes after watching some of these coaches and stuff, it just feels like you have to take a shower afterwards. It just feels a little dirty and slimy. That's all.
It is, and I think that's the one thing you talk with a lot of folks out there is, that they want changes. I think they don't like the system. Whether you're an administrator, whether you're coaches, whether you're agents, whether you're players, and I think truthfully, between the NCAA convention and everything that's been going on lately, you're going to get some bigger changes to the system. I think there's enough of the acceleration of this process, enough of the money that has changed things. But you're going to have some more questions in terms of, hey, do we really need this early signing period that's applying this undue pressure on schools, on players, on coaches? I think you're going to get an overall look at that. That's kind of already in the hopper in terms of the NCAA and looking at things. You obviously have additional pressures like college football playoff expansion. So the amount of changes that we're seeing right now, it's not going to stop. It's not going to slow down. And I think, truthfully, everybody would like some sort of, calming of the waters, especially when it comes to all these coaching moves, because it is a lot. And I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon, given the amount of money that are involved.
One NFL question for you. Out of curiosity, who do you think right now is the cream of the crop in the NFL?
Who isn't it? It's almost like you can pick a team every week, and it feels like as soon as you pick that team, they end up losing a game, right. Causing questions about everything. I would almost lean, Green Bay, just having an MVP caliber quarterback and Aaron Rodgers, and truthfully, the defense that is playing a lot better. I think that you saw them in the last couple of games. They've been able to clamp down on opponents, and that's been a big boon for the Packers. If they can get that number one seed and the road to the Lombardi comes through Lambeau, in the winter, especially a week later in winter this year, that's going to be a huge thing, I think, for the Packers. I would lean with them right now, but it's truthfully as wide open a field in the NFL than I think we've seen the last decade.
Ryan Fisher right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. You know, there's a couple teams out there that we thought might have some opportunities. How disappointed are you with the Cleveland Browns this year? Or did you expect a bit of a lackluster year from them?
I am disappointed. And I think, truthfully, you know, the fans there, they are disappointed. I mean, this is a roster that's one of the better rosters, you know, in terms of the entire you know, NFL. I mean, you look at what they can throw out onto the field, just talent everywhere, and depth too. And they just have not put it together. And a lot of it does come down to the quarterback. You know, I think Baker Mayfield, injuries or not, has not played up to the level that I think everybody expected. And this was obviously a key contract year for him. I would imagine they're going to kick that can down the road if they don't end up kicking the can on some additional trade opportunities in free agent markets. So, They are definitely, I think, without a doubt, one of the more disappointing teams. But, you know, there's no shortage in the NFL. I think you could throw Miami out there, although they've improved a little bit lately. I think just the way Miami started, that was a team I think a lot of people thought could maybe make that next leap in terms of contending for the division, maybe get back into the playoffs. But because of the way that they started so badly, even with this little run they're on these last couple of games, I think they're a bit disappointing when you kind of pull out and look at their entire season.
How shocked are you that New England is leading the AFC East right now? And how surprised? I mean, this is a six-game winning streak that they're on, and Mac Jones is playing pretty well. Are you shocked by how New England is competing 2 years after Tom Brady left?
Not really. I mean, honestly, I mean, you look at everything going on from, you know, the way Bill Belichick, you know, frankly, coaches, you know, it's always a thing where he, in the early part of the season, he's tinkering, he's prodding, he's kind of adjusting to see what his team can do well, and then they take off, and that's exactly what has happened again this year. And frankly, it's been impressive, honestly, because of what they've been able to do. Mac Jones playing lights out almost as a rookie, still a bit of a learning curve, I think, ready for him to go, but he's doing so well right now that. It's very impressive what the Patriots are doing, and truthfully, they might be the team to beat right now in the AFC if they can keep running going out like this and playing defense like they do.
Well, Brian, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the games this weekend, and look forward to having a little bit of clarity of what bowl season is going to look like coming up next week.
Absolutely, can't wait for it next week, and it's here. It's championship weekend, guys.
Go get you some Cafe Rio there in the airport. Get a burrito. It'll be good. You'll like it.
Sweet pork.
All right.
Sweet pork. There you go. All right. Brian Fisher right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network from Athlon Sports, who joins us every week and right now is stuck in the Salt Lake City Airport.